Can I just be real for just a moment? I'm feeling a mix of emotions right now. I'm happy, I'm scared, I'm nervous. And it's because I'm back home. And I pastor a church, but I'm still Randall. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, it is good to be back home. And I am very thankful, and I want to just testify for just a moment. I would not be able to pastor the group of people that I am pastoring if I did not have my time here at this church that took me from theory to application. Different groups of people with different backgrounds can come together and worship the Lord, not just Monday through Friday to receive a paycheck, but that we can come together because the Spirit of God rests, rules, and abides within each of us. And I just have to give God the glory because I was a person that was skeptical. I was skeptical of this church. I was skeptical of this man, and I was skeptical about where this church would go. But what's great about God is that when you trust him, he will show up and show out. And he is now taking me to a place where I'm having to maneuver in some of the same ways of the man that I had to watch and see how to love people even when it hurts. I thank you, Pastor Chris. It hasn't been easy. You haven't always been appreciated. But I can honestly say from the bottom of my heart, as much as I could, I always tried in my own way to let you know I appreciate you. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for the man of God. Of course, God deserves it. We appreciate you. And we know God has not brought you this far to leave you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. I thank you that as I attempt to try to share what you have for us, that Randall would go away and that the power of Christ can shine through me. We love you. We bless you. And we ask in Jesus' name and pray. Amen. Amen. So real quick, I think you all have tricked me. When I left here, this was Strong Tower, a non-denominational church, but it seems like during the praise and worship, y'all have become Strong Tower Assemblies of God or Strong Tower Church of God in Christ. Amen. Amen. I had to check myself where I was. Even Pastor Chris, I was like, what in the world? Now again, don't push me now because I can go there. Amen. Amen. But it is good to be here and to see you all. Thank God for my wife who has supported me. And I thought that I was all that, but when you get married, you realize your spouse holds up a mirror to you, and you realize you've got some things that you need to fix. So, amen, Sister Ebony, you put in a lot of hard work. Amen. Amen. And for my mother that is here, she kind of surprised me on today. I thank you for being here as well. Amen. I want to get into the word, and one of the things that bothers me about modern Christianity is that we cherry pick the parts of the Bible that we preach and we leave the other parts of the Bible alone. And I always said, Lord, if you ever give me the opportunity, I want to try as much as I can to preach the stuff that we don't normally hear. And to hear this story about a lying prophet, oh yeah, that's not something that you normally hear. But I feel that in this current culture, we need to stop sugarcoating and stop placating spiritual people and say what the word of God says. There are people who are following after God and have the 30-year verification to prove it. Can I get an amen? And we've got some other jokers, amen, that are running around here that are doing stuff that is fake, false, and phony. So just real quick as an introduction, let me give you a little bit of background because a lot of people aren't familiar with this. The kingdom of God has split. It's split into Israel and Judah, and the first king of Israel is a guy named Jeroboam, and he gets scared that people, because the temple is in Judah, that they won't come and worship where he is in Israel. I'm talking about a king now. Amen. Anybody have heard of some people in power that do things because they are intimidated? I'm going to leave that alone. But so Jeroboam, he says, I'm going to institute some new worship, and he sets up the city of Bethel as his spiritual capital. So what he does is he creates a counterfeit holy city. He sets up counterfeit priests. He sets up counterfeit feasts and holy days, and then finally he sets up a counterfeit God where he creates two calves and says, these are the gods that delivered you from Egypt. And I want to let you know, Strong Tower, that while I'm glad and I'm happy that you've been here for 30 years, and I'm glad and I'm a product of what God has used you to do, but we can't put our head in the sand and act like we don't live in a land and a time that no matter how much we try to live for God, there are counterfeit cities, priests, holy days, and even God used in the name of Christianity. Can I get an amen? And I'm glad what God has done for you. I'm glad that he's brought you a mighty long way. But we will still need to understand and contend with the war, the battle, the fight is not over. It's not over. And so what I want to talk to you about today, I want to talk to you about lions, kings, and prophets, oh my. Let me say that one more time. Lions, kings, and prophets, oh my. And those of you that are movie aficionados, you know that I am stealing from The Wizard of Oz, where they said lions, tigers, and bears. Yeah, oh my, lions, tigers, and bears. And at the point of the movie, they are on their way to the Emerald City, and they're talking about the dangers, amen. Even though Dorothy had quiet the Scarecrow and quiet the Tin Man, they still had to recognize there's still some dangers. Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my, and I want to let you know, Strong Tower, that I know you've gone from the factory into the people's church, and you're here now, and we put up some statues to tell a more complete story, and we've done some stuff to try to create some healing as it revolves around cultural diversity. But I want to let you know that just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, you got to be worried about lions, tigers and bears. God sent me here to tell you today, but we also need to be worried about lions, kings, and prophets. Oh my. Let me say that one more time. Lions, kings, and prophets. Oh my. Help me out. Lions,
kings,
and
prophets.
Oh my. And so we get into this story and we talk about two prophets. There's a young prophet that I'm going to refer to as PJ because he's the prophet from Judah. And then there's the older prophet that I'm going to refer to as Opie. We're going to call him Brother Opie. So it's a story of two prophets. And PJ received a word from God that you can see in verses 9. Of 1 Kings, where it says, don't eat, don't drink, and don't go back the other way. I want you to leave Judah. I want you to speak to the wicked King Jeroboam. But when you're done, don't eat, don't drink, and go back the other way. And I know, Strong Tower, that we have said some of the tough stuff. Yeah. We've said some of the rough stuff in the world, but the job's not finished yet. It's not enough to just say what God tells you to say. We gotta say what God tells us to say. We gotta not touch what God tells us to not touch. And we gotta go the way that God has told us to go. Y'all with me here? Let me try to hurry up here. So I want to talk about three things: lions, kings, and prophets. Oh my. When I talk about kings, we got to understand about power. When I talk about prophets, we got to understand about our peers. And when we talk about the lion, I want to talk about a proverb. Are y'all with me here? I want to talk about power. I want to talk about peers. And I want to talk about a proverb. Well, when the young prophet went and preached to Jeroboam, he went and preached to Jeroboam, and Jeroboam, in verse 4, when he heard the word of God, he threatened the prophet of God. I got news for you. I know you've been at this for 30 years, Strong Tower, but I come to tell you, when you speak to power, don't be surprised when you become threatened by power. Can I get an amen? When you're doing what God asks you to do, you become threatened by power. But watch this. Not only will you become threatened by power, but God will require you to pray for power. This is where we get struggle sometimes. God will ask you to pray for the powers that exist. After Jeroboam stretched out his hand in verse 6, it says that his hand withered and he asked the prophet to pray for him. Are y'all with me here? Sometimes the very people that threaten you, that hurt you, that curse you, that come against you, that plot all manner of evil against you falsely for God's name's sake, those will be the very same people that when they get in a mess, when they get in a fix, you're the first person they call on their speed dial. Come and pray for me. You got to remember this about kings. You got to remember this about power. Not only will we be threatened by power, not only will we have to pray for power, but you got to remember who is the power. God, how can I pray for someone who threatened me? You got to remember, it's not the power that works in me. It's the power of the one who commissioned me, that lives in me, that dwells through the power of the Holy Spirit, that says, yet they slay me, I will serve him. We got to understand about power. Kings, it represents power. You can't, because of religious affiliation, no longer pray for the president, pray for the government, pray for our officials. Yes, they threaten you. Pray for them anyway. But the power doesn't reside in them. The power resides in me that I got from my Father in heaven. Don't be threatened by power. You got to pray for power. And you got to remember the power. Are y'all still with me here? Say amen. Amen. So we told kings, which we, kings represents power. Then the second thing we got to do is we got to remember about peers, these prophets and these preachers and these teachers and these evangelists and these apostles. Amen. And all these other titles, some which aren't found in the Bible at all, we encounter these titles that people come up with that while you are trying to do God's work, you have these folk that want to slide up and come alongside, and they give the impression that they're here to help you. Oh, yeah. They give the impression that they're here to support you, but you have to understand who called me, what they called me for, and I gotta remember that above all else, I have a job to do. Can I get an amen? You gotta watch out, Strong Tower. As you go and you accomplish what God has done, that these peers and these prophets and even these so-called preachers that want to come align and link up and buddy up and partner up with you, they may not do the same work that God commissioned you to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let me tell you what these peers do. They want to meet up. Then they'll buddy you up, and then they'll set you up. Let me say that one more time. These peers, they want to meet up, they'll buddy you up, and then they'll set you up. Let me say that one more time. These peers, these preachers, amen, they want to meet up, they'll buddy you up, and before long, they will set you up. When you look at this passage, the PJ prophet, he is gone and he said what he's done. He's chilling by a tree. This old head prophet, Brother Opie, flags him down. Amen. And some of us that have been through some of the neighborhoods, we know that when you are flagging down people and flagging down cars, it ain't always on things that are on the up and up. Every preacher is not headed the same way you're headed. Let me say that again. Every church is not headed the same way you're headed. Every Christian auxiliary is not headed the same way you're headed. Be careful, Pastor, when folks want to always invite you to lunch. Amen. Be careful, Strong Tower, when all these groups want to get on your calendar and want to talk about what the Lord can do with both of you coming together. The Bible says, test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Be careful when you're doing the Lord's work and all of a sudden people popping up out of the woodwork want to meet up, want to link up, want to buddy up, want to partner up. Can I get an amen? Amen? They'll meet up, and secondly, they'll buddy you up. They'll buddy you up. People will find a way to reinterpret what God has already told you. Let me say that one more time. People will link up. They want to meet up, and then they buddy you up, and they try to reinterpret what God has already commissioned you to do. Look at verse 18. He says, guess what? I'm a prophet too. Ah, yeah. Guess what? I talk to God too. Guess what? I've got degrees too. Guess what? I've been in ministry too. But usually that's not enough. So they want to add a little extra spice to it and say, an angel. Yeah. An angel told me to tell you. Oh, I know I'm in the house on the day. You got to watch out for some of these folks that look like they've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and you share with them what your vision is and what God's anointing is for your life, and they want to come along and start trying to grease the skids, and they want to butter you up and say, I'm going where you're going. I'm thinking what you're thinking, and somebody told me to tell you what God has for you to do. Can I get an amen? They'll buddy up. Want to meet up. Want to buddy you up. And then finally, they'll set you up. Want to meet up. Want to buddy you up. Reinterpret what God told you. And then they'll set you up. Just because somebody listened to God yesterday does not mean they're hearing from God right now. Just because somebody listened to God yesterday, it doesn't mean that they are hearing from what God told you right now. And some of you know I'm an old school jail and prison preacher. And I find it interesting when the Bible calls people flat out liars. And we just need to say what the text says. The Bible says this prophet straight up lied. Can I get an amen? And we as the church, we need to quit trying to spare people's feelings. And when folk come along and try to get you to be engaged in some hot mess, we need to call a spade, and tell you, I don't care if you're a preacher, I don't care if you're a deacon, I don't care if you're a prophet, you are prophelying on my God, and I will not stand for it. They'll set you up. Prophelying. The Bible goes out of its way to make sure that you and I are not confused. It says he's straight up lying. And there are people that get behind the pulpit with agendas and all kinds of foolishness. And you ought to put your hands together and you ought to thank God for the man of God that is here. Because when it was good, when it was bad, when it was high, when it was low, he got up behind this desk. And with what was in him, he said the truth of the word of God. Prophelying. And see, this is what happens. You got to watch out. You got to watch out for these peers. They want to come along. They want to meet up. They buddy you up. And then they set you up. Because if they lie on God, that's not on them. That's on you. Because let me tell you what happens. After the prophet, PJ, disobeyed God, God actually spoke to Opie, the wicked prophet, and says, since he won't listen to me, and he's listening to you, let me tell you something to tell him, you're not making it home, bruh. And let me tell you about what these peers will do. When they get you out there and you act outside of your character and you act outside of what God has led you to do, they really don't have anything to give you. They are left empty-handed. And so it says, what does he give them? He gives them a donkey to ride back home on, knowing that he's never gonna make it home. Let me tell you the travesty of listening to and entertaining folks that try to link up with you and get you off from where God would have you to be. When the dust hits the fan, when it all comes crashing down, they're gonna look at you with that sad face and say, I don't have anything to give you. So I'm gonna give you a donkey to ride that isn't equipped to get you back to where you're trying to go. I wish y'all had some help in here. There's a whole lot of folks that started out doing what God said, and they allowed other people to influence them, and they're riding on donkeys that they think are going to get them to where they're headed, but because of disobedience, we won't be able to make it back. Are y'all still with me here? Am I still your friend? I know we want to be excited about 30 years, but I want to remind you, you didn't get to 30 years because of how cute you were. You didn't get to 30 years because of how good the preaching was. You got to 30 years because of the blessing of God and Him blessing you for your obedience. But you can't look at your past accomplishments and what God has done and cause you to stop listening and regarding God every day, every week, every month, every year, every season. Lions, kings, and prophets. So I talked about the kings, talked about power. I talked about the prophets, our peers, but what about the lion? It's a proverb. I know we feel good about ourselves and we look around and say, look at what God has used us to do. But I come to remind you, God's message is going to be preached with you. Oh, yeah. Or without you. God's message is going to be preached to your benefit or to your detriment. And this young prophet who went and told the king what thus saith the Lord, because he disobeyed, God used him in a sermon that wasn't with his mouth. He used him in a sermon that was resulting in his life. He didn't make it back home. He was found on the road by a lion and a donkey, and everyone knew who he was. And watch this, and they knew why he ended up the way that he did. Who knew about it? The wicked prophet knew about it. Who knew about it? Wicked Israel knew about it. Who else knew about it? Even the wicked King Jeroboam knew about it. And I come to remind you, Strong Tower, don't do most of what God said and wind up because of our pride thinking that God needs us to accomplish what is next for the kingdom program. God will use us as a proverb. What good is it to say all those good things and not make it back home? Can I get an amen? So we got to talk about power. We got to talk about our peers. And then finally, this proverb. God is going to get his message through, whether it's a strong tower, whether it's a weak tower, whether it's a North Nashville tower, whether it's a Bellevue tower, whether it's a Springfield tower. God's message will be preached no matter what. We're going to conclude here. I want to make sure that we understand that we can't confuse God's objectives with what our mission is. We might have a lot of objectives, but the overall mission is what is most important. And when I think about The Wizard of Oz, the name of that movie title is misleading because the movie was not about The Wizard of Oz. The movie was about a girl named Dorothy. who found herself stranded in a land that she had never been before. And she realized that no matter what she was going to do, that it was important for her and Toto to not hang around in the land of Oz, but somehow for them to make it back home. And I want to let you know, Strong Tower, that while we are here and we accomplish a lot of God's objectives, I want you to be reminded to never lose sight of what God's mission is. The mission that all of us have is not just to say some good stuff. It's not just to have some good church services. It's not just to have a hallelujah shouting time. Our mission that we've had from day one has always been somehow, some kind of a way, I'm trying to make it back home. Say yes. Dorothy, she followed the yellow brick road, but that didn't bring her back home. She got the scarecrow a brain. She got the tin woodsman a heart. She got the cowardly lion some courage. But I come to tell you, her mission was to try to make it back home. She killed the Wicked Witch of the West and became a symbol of independence through the land. And that might be good for the citizens of Oz, but that still wasn't her mission. She's trying to make it back home. And when she ever met the wizard and found out you were fake and a phony, he was empty-handed. She still had those ruby slippers and realized the power to get to where she was going. She had it all the time. The mission, if you choose to accept it, is to make it back home. I'm going to my seat right now, but I want to ask Strong Tower, have you got so wrapped up in the objectives that you've forgotten what the mission is? Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to make it back home. Pastor Chris, before Dorina, before the rap music, before pastoring, you were a man running around Baltimore, and you met a man named Jesus, and he made a deal with you. He said, I'm going to entrust you with some things, but don't lose sight of the mission. Chris Williamson, I'm trying to make it back home. You might be saying, it's hard. It's hard to accomplish this mission. But there was another man some 2,000 years ago. He was born in a manger. He had wise men give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But that wasn't the mission. He taught and blessed and healed a whole lot of people. But that wasn't the mission. He taught his disciples and they ran and turned cold on them. He bled and he died. But that wasn't the mission. And when he prayed to God in the garden and said, take this cup away from me. Not my will, your will be done. He remembered the mission. I charge you on today. You still have lions. You still have kings. And you still have prophets that want to deter you from what God has for you in your life. There's no amount of sermons we can preach. There's no amount of things that we can do. Remember the mission. I'm going home to be with him. I'm going home to be with him. Remember the power. Remember the peers. Remember the proverb. God is waiting for us to come back home. Celebrate, Strong Tower. Amen. 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 Get excited, Strong Tower. Yes, it's been good, but better days are ahead, because a day is going to come. I'm going to see Jesus to his face. I'm going to be able to shake his hand. I'm going to be able to hug him, and I'm going to be where he is, and I'm going to make it back home. God bless you. God keep you.
Remain standing. Remain standing. Remain standing. Let us pray. Father, this word wasn't just for me or for the church. It was for each of us. I pray that you would deliver us from the evil one and how subtle he is at deceiving us, and even successful many times, because lies sound so much like the truth. And a lot of times we're deceived because we don't know your voice as coming through scripture well. I think of a friend of mine right now who was a strong pastor, but he's been believing the lies and fables and stories of religion, and he's gotten off the path. Yes. But Jesus, you are the path. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And the mission of this church is to make disciples of you. It's not about politics. It's not about race. It's not about economics. It's not about this country. It's about Jesus. So Lord, for you we live, for you we die. Thank you that you've been with us every step of the way, individually as well as collectively. Thank you, Lord, that as we come to this threshold of being able to say thank you for what you've done, we know that our journey together is not over. The best is yet to come. There's still work to be done in your vineyard. And we ask that you continue to grace us and use us, that as we celebrate this experience, we also celebrate you and what you're up to. That's really what it's all about. Thank you for bringing this man of God this way to remind us to stay on mission to make it home, to be careful of the peers and the prophets and the folk out here that want to distract us from obeying you and doing what you've said. Oh God, this was a prophetic word, and I thank you. I pray you protect the man of God and his family. As he's poured out, would you pour back in? Would you be his shield, and would you be his protection? Would you meet all of his needs according to your riches and glory in Christ? Thank you, Lord, for his church, allowing him to come this morning to be with us. Thank you that you're with them today too. And as he returns back to them, I pray, Lord, that they will continue to grow in the things of the Lord. Lord, for each person who heard a word, I pray that we don't let the enemy steal this word. But I pray, Lord, that it will go down deep into good soil so that fruit can be produced. I thank you that when we open up our Bibles tonight or this week and reread this passage, we're going to see things we've never seen before. Thank you for this man of God expounding on it in such a way, bringing it to richer life for us, that we can read it and get something personal for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you're able to keep us from falling and present us before your presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen. Can we give God a hand praise? Hallelujah. What a day, what a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. after the pastor dries off, he's going to be down here. Come shake his hand and encourage him, because it takes a lot to preach a word like that. Strong Tower, have a good day. We will see you, rain or shine, Wednesday. Whether you got 90s gear or not, we'll see you Wednesday. Good food is going to be served, fellowship, fun, and games. Y'all have a blessed day in the Lord. Amen.